Welcome to Taizé tonight. A couple things before we start. There's a difference between men and women leading Taizé when you wear a dress. And there's nowhere to hook your things. I don't have pockets. So when you see me carrying this, that's why. I didn't pre-plan that. And secondly, because we don't have a pastor here because they're on vacation and on sabbatical, we are unable to do communion because I cannot consecrate the elements. So we are going to do a little bit different twist because we're just going to let that go. We are going to, I call it a liturgy of peace. And I thought with the violence that's going on and all this disruption and racism and hatred, that maybe it's time for us to end tonight's Taizé. We'll come up and I have these little symbols of love for you. You'll come up, we'll do a liturgy, and then you'll walk up and take one of those signs of love. And when we come back to our chairs, we're just going to sit in silence for a while. They'll be singing the song that they had for the communion and just playing that. And then as it ends, I'm not going to come up and end the sermon. I just want us to, if you want, just sit in silence however long you need. And we'll just have prayer time and a little bit of a vigil time for the unrest that's going on. So it'll be a little bit different than usual, but it's in your bulletin. And the liturgy that we're going to follow is on the back side. So when it's time to do that, I'll guide you to the liturgy in the back. So let's open in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for our time to come together each week, especially Taizé, where it's just time to chill and get quiet with you and to listen to you. So I pray that each one of us is able to slow our minds down. Whatever's going on in our world, that we can just set that aside, allow ourselves to be calm and be ready to listen to you. We ask these things in your name. Amen.
Bless the Lord, my soul, and bless God's holy name. Bless the Lord, my soul, who leads me into life.
comes from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 32. Be at peace and silence as you listen for the Holy One. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesomeness talk come from your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. To direct you to a word or phrase from the second reading of the text. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God, in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. During the silence following the third reading, you're invited to come forward to light a candle to signify a prayer intention for yourself or another. You may also come to the kneeler if you'd like for healing for yourself or another. For those wishing to give an offering, you're welcome to do so either while you light a candle or during our liturgy or as you leave the worship center. There's a basket at the front of the table. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated for the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor. For we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. So today I thought we're going to reminisce about Royal Family Kids Camp. And you're probably going, oh no, not again. But yes, we are. But it's a different part that you probably haven't heard yet. So let me figure out how to put this on. There you go, I love these things. And I'm tethered a bit, kind of. All right. So the scripture tonight, to me, it talked a lot about what a Christian journey is like. It has a beginning when you've come to Christ, but it doesn't stop with just coming to Christ. There's these stages that we go through. And when I've served with the Royal Family Kids Camp, and for those that aren't familiar, it's a camp, overnight camp we do with foster kids, and we held it a few weeks ago. And we have 32 kids there, and they get to just be kids. And all we're called to do is love, which is really easy because we don't have to parent them. We just have to love them, so there's no discipline going on. And I've been there for 3 years as the coach, and one of the things I like is different than the counselors who have two campers to one counselor. As a coach, I get to see all the kids. And one of my favorite things is when a camper gets to be 11 or 12, they age out if they're 13 at the time of camp. But when they get to be 11 or 12, they get to do what we call the rite of passage. And there's a wall, and I'm going to show you what it looks like. There's this kind of an obstacle course or skills course that they have to go through that I would bet if I show it to you, we'll raise hands and say, who would be willing to do this? I know I would love it, but the other side of me says, no way would I be able to do it. But one day, maybe. But when I was watching it, and again, this is my third time to watch these kids, this summer I'm looking at it and going, that's exactly like what our walk with God is like. There are different stages with our walks. And when I look at this, and I'll show you what it looks like, it's like exactly mirrors and parallels our stages with God. So, all right, so on the left-hand side, that's what they face first. And I don't know if you can see how big it is. It is really, 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 really tall and straight up. So they start off with a climbing wall on the left. Then there's this little tiny, maybe this big, little walkway once you get on the top that you have to stand on to get to the other side. So up in this picture, about a third of the way in, you'll see someone in a yellow shirt standing on a post. That's where they stand. And then there's this little cable. You see the person going across? There's a cable that's about yay big around at your feet, and one about that same size that's about this high. And they have to shimmy across from that post all the way across to this little teeny tiny stand. And they have to seriously do like this, and there's nothing under them. And when I look at them, I just shiver. Now, granted, they are tethered, right? So you can see that they can fall and nothing's going to happen to them. So they are safe, but I think fear, even though we know we're safe, fear still gets a hold of us. So they go across there. Then far left over here is the little stand that they sit on. And then the next step is a zip line. But that platform and the getting off the platform is scarier than scary. But once they take that leap, they're just flying through the woods, and there's this complete sense of freedom. And when I look at that, I'm going, that's our stages with God. Because each one of the kids had to make a decision to start, right? Because they could sit there and decide not. And whenever we're with the kids, we don't care where they go or how far they go. We would like them to try it, and everybody's encouraging them along the way. So they start at the bottom, and they decide they're going to do it, and there's people there teaching them what to do, and off they go up the wall. Then they get to another obstacle, right? And there's obstacles all along that wall that they face. Where do they put their foot? Is it too far away? Do I have to go back and go around? They slip sometimes and have to try again. Then they get to the top, and here's another obstacle. Here's another thing we have to face. And it's a lot different facing it once you get to that vantage point than it is from the ground. Because now all of a sudden you're just above everything and there's nothing below you. Then they have to make that next decision. Do I go or do I not go? Because at any time they can stop and stay where they are, right? Or they can continue on their journey. And they continue across there. And there is someone at this post on the far right-hand side that's encouraging them, telling them what to do, and guiding them along the way. And then they get to that next place, and they could stay on that post, which we had someone do for about 10 minutes this summer. She just was not going to go. And once you get to that post, there's only two options. There is go back across that little line to that side, or you go down the zip line. There's no like in-between thing. They're not going to come up there and get you. So you have to make that choice, and you get to that post. Then you have to make another choice to leap, right? And how often do we have to do that same thing? And when we leap, and when they leap, that sense of freedom is amazing. So when I was looking at that, and I'm going, that's like our life with God, right? Every time we have these stages that we face. And we did a church-wide study last fall, and it was called A Disciple's Path by James Harnish. And I loved it because he talked about the five relationship stages that we have with God. And I got to tell you that I never knew those things existed before 4 years ago. Did y'all know there are stages? Or did you just think where you are now is all there is going to be? That there is nothing else for you in your spiritual life? But guess what? There is. So here's what it looks like. And what I liked is the disciples' path, it mirrored the relationship stages with God with meeting another human being, right? So first you have what they call strangers. And I don't know you. I cross your path and you're just a stranger. In our spiritual world, we call that ignoring. So at this point, it's a very formal, very distant relationship. And with our spiritual side, this is like, I might know the person, I don't really know God, don't really know the person, and I'm going to kind of stay away from you. I don't know if I believe in God, and maybe I believe in God, but I don't really think I need a faith community. I don't need to be part of that. So that's stage one. Then stage two with a friend is maybe you start to become acquaintances, and you get to know each other a little bit, but you're still over there. You're not coming in my space. And with the spiritual world, he calls that stage exploring. So it's a little bit more relaxed. And at this point, I believe in God, but I'm not sure about Jesus or the church. So they've made that little step, right? Maybe they're climbing on the wall, making that step on the wall. My faith isn't a significant part of my life, so their toes are getting a little bit wet. Next, then, if you get to know somebody and it's like, maybe I want to get to know you a little better and become friends, right? Then that relationship is beginning. You start to make that commitment to somebody else. You start sharing your life. You're still reserved, right? Because you're not in the inner circle yet. Same with God. We call that a getting started phase with our relationship with God. So here, I believe in Jesus, and I'm working on what it means to follow him. And I'm participating in the life of the church. So you're in the door, right? You're kind of working your way in, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you have this connection with God yet. It's just kind of in the beginning phase. So then the next phase then is good friends. Now as a friendship, you might want to start having coffee together, right? Or you go do things together and you start sharing a little bit more of who you are and you let them into that inner side of you. In our spiritual world, we call that going deeper. And with that relationship stage with God, now your relationship with Jesus makes a difference in how you live your life. So you've shifted from he's out here to all of a sudden you're letting him change you from the inside out, and you show up differently in your world. And you allow those things to happen. You allow these different stages and changes to occur in you to help you grow. I'm discovering how my life can make God's love real in the world. So that's the stage of going deeper. And then the fifth stage is called intimate friends. Those are your go-to friends that if you had an inner core of people, that's what that's called. Those are the intimate friendships. And in our spiritual world, we call that centering. And it's not centered, it's not past tense, it's centering, because you kind of keep coming back to that. It's hard to stay in that stage. In this stage, following Jesus is the most important thing in your life. My life is part of God's transformation of the world. So in this stage, you're all in. You are everything you can be to stay connected here. And it's not the false, fake sense of connection that maybe you're showing everyone. It's not your Sunday connection. It is your everyday, all day, you're trying to be connected to him. So I truly, 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 4 years ago, did not know it. I thought that what I had, because I was raised in a church, kind of, pretty much, a little bit. So I at least knew what a church was, and then got active in eighth grade to high school. And then I took a 19-year hiatus, I guess like a lot of people do. But when I came back, I was volunteering, and I call it volunteering because it doesn't become serving until you do it from the heart. But I was giving my time to the church a lot of times, but I didn't have this connection. And I thought what I had was all there was. You could have asked me and I wouldn't have told you that there's this thing called going deeper or this thing called centering, because I didn't know it existed. And my true belief is that a lot of people here, a lot of Christians, don't understand that there's more to life for them. Because when they start doing these things and taking these leaps and these trials and taking God along with you during those trials, your whole life shows up very differently. And so when we were doing the rite of passage, it also exposed a lot of similar situations that we're faced with in our everyday life as adults and on our spiritual journey. So we stumble, we fall, we pick ourselves up and we go again. And we're surrounded by this community of disciples, and they pick us up and they hold our hands and they walk alongside of us, right? And they are the ones that help us grow and help us keep going. So as we do this, we're moving more and more into a life with Christ and centered on him, and we do it from our mind and our heart and our soul and through strength. So what I saw on the wall and over the last 3 years, I saw stories of courage, of fear, tears, joy, resilience, support, cheering, consoling, encouraging, and celebrating. And this is just with these 11 and 12-year-olds, and I can tell you it was the first time in year one. I don't know, were you back with the year one at the wall? I can't remember when you came. But you know how Pastor Dave will tell you that a lot of people say, how can being part of Royal Family Kids Camp, how can these kids coming for 1 week make any difference at all in their lives? And all it took with me was year one on the wall to see just that one moment that these kids had, that moment of whatever it was, that you can see that impacted their life. And they had a lot of those many moments all throughout camp. So it is true that one moment can change a life. Just like for us, one moment can change our life and give us that spark to continue. So I talked about the girl that was stuck on the platform. Lord have mercy, she really did live on it. We were kind of like, okay, you got to go. We've got other girls to go. We're going to run out of time. It's lunchtime. And she just wasn't budging. I was even wanting the guy that's on the post, just push her. Literally, we're kind of like, shove her. But she finally made the choice on her own to do it. And she was so like proud of herself when she did it. There was a girl last year, and she was very athletic. She zipped up and did a great job. But what she did was she paved the way, just like others do for us. And when the next girl would go on the wall, she walked her through it. She was down on the ground, this little 12-year-old girl, telling the girl when she was on the wall. She would say, okay, when I got about there, I was really, really scared. You know what I did? I prayed. I prayed when I got scared there. So why don't you pray right there? And then she would walk her through when she got here. The whole way around was telling her how she felt and the things that she did along the way to help her, because she had experienced it and she knew the different places that different emotions would come out. And there was, if you ever see the picture with Royal Family with Lisa McGrail behind shot with two girls that were holding hands, that is a picture from the wall, and that's the girl that was doing the praying for the other girl to make it through the course. To me, it was one of my most touching times I've ever experienced there. We had one boy who was heavier set, not athletic, and he tried it. And we were so celebrating him for trying. Last year, he only got maybe a third of the way up the wall, and this year, he got maybe halfway up. But it didn't matter. He took that leap. So I'd like to just close with us, because how often are we faced with those same things? Right, where are you in your journey with God? Do you think that what you have is all there is to it? And there isn't anything else for you and you're just staying complacent? Or are you willing to take some leaps and take some dives and see what that relationship could be like? What steps maybe is God asking you to take? Right? And that you're kind of like hesitant to do it. Because just like those kids, they had fear. We are kind of wrapped with fear. It kind of grounds us in cement sometimes. So think about those times where you're afraid to do something. You're afraid, you're hearing God, and you're afraid to make that next step. Because here's what happened. I love this because this is community. So when we're on the wall, this is the community that is supporting these kids through this, just like we all have a community here to support us. The upper left is when they're starting. This is one of my favorite campers. Not that we have favorites, but we do. He was just starting, so there's someone there walking alongside to help him and talk to him how to get started. Then the next one, the first camper, the hire, he went first. He did it two or three times. He went alongside and walked alongside the other camper just to help him and talk him through it to make him feel more comfortable. Then over here, there's always someone at the top willing to help you and pull you up, right, to make sure you get solid ground. Then the one kid, because you can always come down if you don't want to keep going. And so this little guy on the left, on the bottom, he was ready to come down the wall instead of go the rest of the way. So there were people right there to catch him, because he kind of slipped, to help catch him when he fell and get him down the wall. Then on the middle one, there's a post there, and there's always someone there. Whenever she was doing the most scary part of all, he was right there talking to her and helping her get across. Then we have people cheering on from the ground, and as you finished it and you came back to the group, you have everybody high-fiving you, that celebrating with you. So for me, I just love the wall. I'm a little partial. Can you tell? But it is. I just love it. It's life changing, and it's life changing not just for the kids. It's life changing for anyone that gets to serve. So as we wrap up today, I wanted to read one thing, and you know, I kind of love email or Facebook because there was something that came through right when I was reading it at home, and I said, this is perfect for our peace liturgy. This is, someone had posted it, and it says, Genesis 1:27 clearly states that every person is created in the image of God. To hate another person is to hate the image of God. Racism is nothing new and will never go away, but as the people of God, Let's always be the ones that train our children that it is evil. Let's be the ones that don't take part in the conversation that marginalizes or makes light of another person based on their race. To stand against racism isn't just about standing against the white nationalist that does vile things in Charlottesville, but to stand against racism in its less egregious expressions. Racism is all around us. Sometimes it is in our families, our neighborhoods, and even in our churches. Let us be the light of Christ that stands for the truth that all people are created in the image of God and therefore worthy of honor. So tonight, if you look on the back of your bulletin, and we will read a liturgy of peace. And after we read this, the Taizé singers will sing a song. And at that point, you can come up and take a remembrance. Of love. So we have, make a choice. We have little love things or little love things. Take whatever you like. And then as you go back to your seat, we'll just stay in silence and pray for peace around the world and especially here in the United States. Gracious Lord, we dream of a world free of poverty and oppression, and we yearn for a world free of vengeance and violence. We pray for your peace. When our hearts ache for the victims of war and oppression, help us to remember that you healed people simply by touching them, and give us faith in our ability to comfort and heal bodies and minds and spirits that have been broken by violence. When the injustice of this world seems too much for us to handle, help us to remember that you fed 5,000 people with only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and give us hope that what we have to offer will turn out to be enough too. When fear of the power and opinions of others tempts us not to speak up for the least among us, help us to remember that you dared to turn over the tables of money changers, and give us the courage to risk following you without counting the cost. When we feel ourselves filled with anger at those who are violent and oppressive, help us remember that you prayed for those who killed you, and give us compassion for our enemies too. When we tell ourselves that we have given all we can to bring peace to this world, help us to remember your sacrifice and give us the miracle of losing a little more of ourselves in serving you and our neighbors. Walk with us, Lord, as we answer your call to be peacemakers. Increase our compassion, our generosity, and our hospitality for the least of your children. Give us the courage, the patience, the serenity, the self-honesty, the gentleness of spirit that are needed in a world filled with turmoil and terror. Amen.
Thank you.